Bibles tonight to Joshua chapter number 7. Joshua chapter number 7. Last week we looked at the disaster at Ai. This week we're going to look at there are some things you can't hide. There are some things that you can't hide. If you're familiar with the passages of Scripture at all, you probably know which way we're going to go with this. It's talking about how Achan had sinned and Achan had caused a problem with Israel, and because of Achan's sin. And as we looked at last week, it wasn't just Achan. We looked how Joshua did not, consult the Lord. And we also looked at that overconfidence of the soldiers and things like that. But the main thrust was the sin of Achan. And what we're going to do is we're going to take the rest of the chapter tonight. It's going to kind of walk through it like we normally do. And then we're just going to preach a message and just look at six different things about the effects of sin. And just to teach us and help us and remind us of some things that we already know, things that we are already familiar with, but I think you're going to help us tonight. And my encouragement is, and my hope is that we make a breakthrough in some areas. When we talk about sin, I know a lot of people think, you know, you should preach on sin, which I think you should, and I think we do. You should preach hard on sin, and I agree with that. But when you get to a story like this, you see really a lot of different truths that we already know about sin, but sometimes we just don't want to admit it. When you look at this story, it talks about how, in verse number 12, it says, "Therefore the children of Israel could not stand before their enemies, but turned their backs before their enemies, because they were accursed." That was the reason why it happened, is they were cursed. They had done wrong. And lots of people like to try to kind of think, well, this is the reason why God's not blessing, or this is the reason why God's not blessing. But with the nation of Israel right here, they were cursed. And they had done something wrong, and this is the reason why, it was because of Achan's sin. And we shouldn't candy coat it. And when we deal with our own sins, we like to try to gloss it over. We like to try to talk about other things. But we're going to look at some different points tonight that I hope and pray that would be a blessing to all of us, that we don't play with sin. Instead, we call sin, sin, and we just deal with it with as God would want us to deal with. Let's go ahead and look here. We're going to start in verse number 11, where you remember that in verse number 10, the Lord tells Joshua to get up. He's on his face before God. He's more, I think, whining and complaining than he is really seeking God's help. God tells him to get thee up. In verse number 11, he tells him why. He says, "Israel have sinned, and they have also transgressed my covenant, which I commanded them, for they have even taken of the accursed thing, and have also stolen and dissembled also, and they have put it even among their own stuff." So in that verse, you see that they sinned, it says, and that they transgressed, and they've taken the accursed thing, and that they've stolen, and they dissembled, and they put it among their own stuff. There's a lot of things right there. He says there are a lot of things. So two main things kind of puts over all of it. They stole. They took things away from God. They took God's stuff and they put it amongst their own stuff. And once again, we need to be careful with that. You know, make sure that we keep the Lord's stuff, the Lord's, and we don't try to make it amongst our own stuff. But they disobeyed also when they said they transgressed against my covenant. He says, I told them what to do. And verse number 12, as we read it already, "Therefore the children of Israel could not stand." That was one of the problems that Joshua was sitting there saying. Look, they couldn't stand before their enemies. They had to be cowards. They turned their backs before their enemies because they were cursed. There's a curse that comes with sin. There is a sin must be dealt with. Sin will be punished. Neither. Now, look at this. This is what I think is probably one of the biggest consequences when it comes to sin that wants to keep my heart clean. "Neither will I be with you anymore, except you destroy the accursed from among you." So what did we learn already? You know, they had been promised. All you had to do is go and possess this land. But then God's saying, look, you didn't obey. And we're going to show you some verses earlier in Deuteronomy that they knew they had to obey to be able to possess this land. And God says, I'm not going with you anymore. Until you take care of this, I'm not going to go with you anymore. We're going to talk about this in a little while, but I tell you, I want to keep my heart clean because I want God to be with me. Now, I know God says, I'm going to never leave you nor forsake you. I understand that. I want more than that. I want God's blessings. And if I want God's blessings in my life, I need to make sure there's not sin, because there's a principle here, and we're going to look at that principle in a little while. Verse 13, you see the urgency of it. He tells Joshua, "Up, sanctify the people, and say, sanctify yourselves against tomorrow. For thus saith the Lord God of Israel, there is an accursed thing in the midst of thee, O Israel. Thou canst not stand before thine enemies until ye take away the accursed thing from among you. Now, when we get to the end of this chapter, some people are going to feel bad for Achan. Some people are going to feel sorry for his family. You know what? This has been said to the nation of Israel here. Achan could have gotten right when he heard this. Achan could have sought for forgiveness. You're going to see here that in the morning, it says, verse 14, in the morning, therefore, ye shall be brought according to your tribes. And it shall be that the tribe which the Lord taketh shall come according to the families thereof, and the family which the Lord shall take shall come by households, and the households which the Lord shall take shall come man by man. So any of these different times, Achan could have went before God and said, and went before Joshua and said, hey, I did it. I'm sorry. Would he receive forgiveness? I don't know. I know we have a forgiving, kind, and love God, a loving God. Could he have received? I'm not God. I don't know. But God knows Achan's heart already. He's going to know that they're going to split up into the 12 tribes and then go from the one tribe down to different households and then go from man to man to man. The point is, Achan has to confess his sin because he's caught, not because he's repentant, not because he's sorry for his sin. He's sorry because he got caught. There's a two really big differences there of whether or not we're going to live a life that is blessed or a life that faces cursing or a life that faces ones of disobedience. And it says in verse number 15, he tells them this ahead of time up front. And it shall be that he that is taken with the accursed thing shall be burnt with fire, he and all that he hath, because he have transgressed the covenant of the Lord and because he hath wrought folly in Israel. So he has troubled Israel. We saw that the 36 men that died near Ai. And verse number 16, so Joshua rose up early. I always like that. I always like to make a comment about that. He rises up early, doesn't put it off. He knows what God wants him to do. I'm sure he's not really excited about somebody dying and burning, but at the same time, he wants to get this curse off of them so they can move forward. He gets up early. It shows the confidence he has in what God's given him to do. In the morning, he brought Israel by their tribes, and the tribe of Judah was taken. So they separate, all the 12 tribes come out, they're all there, and so he separates the 12 tribes, and Judah said, okay, it's fallen in Judah. And then it says, then he brought the family of Judah, and he took the family of the Zerahites. Now, the Zerahites is the bigger, you know, the outer family, and he brought the family of Zerahites, man by man, and Zabdi was taken. So this is a closer lineage to Achan. And he brought in his household, man by man, and Achan, the son of Carmi, the son of Zabdi, the son of Zerah, and of the tribe of Judah, was taken. And Joshua said unto Achan, my son, give, I pray thee, glory to the Lord God of Israel, and make confession unto him. And he said, well, how can he give glory to the Lord God of Israel by making confession? He's going to reveal what he's done as sin. He's going to say, okay, God was right. I did sin. I did do what was wrong. And instead of drawing it out, instead of trying to prove it, he is telling the people, look, the Lord told me to do this, and I did what was wrong. And he said he says, hide it not from me. And Achan answered Joshua and said, indeed, I have sinned against the Lord God of Israel, and thus have I done. When I saw among the spoils a goodly Babylonian garment. So this was a very, very fancy garment. I don't know where Achan was planning on wearing it out in the middle of the desert, but he saw it, he desired it, and he took it. And 200 shekels of silver and a wedge of gold of 50 shekels weight, then I coveted them and took them. So you see how sin many times work. They see, they covet, and they take. And that happens with all the flesh of our sins, the sins of our flesh. We see, we covet, and we take it. This includes jealousy. This includes greed. This includes gossip. You know, you see something, you think about it, and even not even about the things, the possessions, and desiring gain. And verse number 22, so Joshua sent messengers, and they ran unto the tent, and behold, it was hid in his tent, and the silver under it. And they took them out of the midst of the tent and brought them unto Joshua, unto all the children of Israel, and laid them out before the Lord. So we see here that he's been caught, he reveals it, and now God has revealed the hardness of Achan's heart because Achan was not willing to forgive. God has revealed the sin also, and God has also given, I think, a chance to repent, but he really never did. And Joshua and all of Israel with him took Achan, the son of Zerah, and the silver and the garment and the wedge of gold and his sons and his daughter and his oxen and his asses and his sheep and his tent and all that he had, and they brought them unto the valley of Achor. Now you say, wow, that's a lot of stuff. Well, you think about it, the bounty that he took, the stuff he stole, is going to be burned. So he never gets to use these things. The things that's going to cost his life, never gets to use it. You also see that his sons and his daughters are involved. You say, well, why is that? Well, some commentators believe that they probably knew about it, that they maybe helped hide it. Some believe it's just him, God showing the great penalty of sin and how God deals with sin, and that it's no laughing matter. Verse 25, and Joshua said, why hast thou troubled us? And once again, he's talking to Achan. You've troubled us. The Lord shall trouble thee this day. So he's saying, look, because you troubled us, because you've done this, this is the reason why you're being punished for your sin. The Lord shall trouble thee this day. And Israel stoned him with stones and burned them with fire after they had stoned them with stones. Now, it's kind of interesting. The final judgment for Achan was fire, and that is the final judgment for all those who are lost in name, and their name isn't written down in the Lamb's Book of Life. It says that they'll be cast into the lake of fire. And they raised over him a great heap of stones unto this day. So there's a third monument that we've seen here. These stones have been put up. And now this one is to remind them of this trouble in Achor. And this, and Achor means trouble, and even the word name Achan means trouble. So it's something, just a reminder there. So the Lord turned, now look, the Lord turned from the fierceness of his anger. So he has taken away the curse off of the nation of Israel. And now Israel can go forward. Wherefore the name of the place was called the Valley of Achor unto this day. It's important to understand that Achor means trouble. So it's a valley of trouble. So there was trouble here. They deal with the trouble. Now Israel can go forward. So what's the message about? There's some things that we can't hide. Achan here probably thought and probably had in his mind, oh, I'm not going to hurt anybody. I'm not going to trouble anybody. If I just take these things and I hide them, no one will ever know. And that point number one, when we talk about sin, is probably one of the most important, if not the most important thing. God knows about our sin already. He already knows about our sin. Those things that we think are hidden, those things that we think nobody else knows about, those things that we think aren't bothering anybody, those things that we keep close, and there are maybe our pet sins, maybe those things that we disguise, we must always remember God knows about them already. And if Achan would have considered that when he looked at it and when he coveted it and when he took it, if he says, you know what, God is seeing what I'm doing, and I'm going to bring a curse to the nation of Israel and a curse to my family, I'm not going to do it. But he doesn't think of it that way. Achan thought he could get away with this sin, but he forgot that God would always know. And I know we say this, and these, I doubt any of these points are going to come up and you're going to say, wow, that was awesome. I never ever thought about that. You know, this is a point that we must keep as a memory inside of our mind, that we should consciously live in the presence of God. Consciously live in the presence of God. We are always in the presence of God. He is always seeing what we're doing. He is always knowing what we think and what we hear. If we consciously live in the presence of God, I tell you, it's going to change the way we live. But we go day by day, moment by moment, maybe looking around, making sure nobody's looking, and we do what we want sometimes. The Bible tells us the eyes of the Lord are in every place, beholding the evil and the good. Thankful for that. He doesn't just behold the evil, he also sees the good. That famous verse in Numbers 32:23, be sure your sin will find you out. He says, that's in the Bible. You see a lot of these little phrases that become coined phrases or many times from the Bible, or at least from sayings in the Bible. God's word is clear. He sees what we do in secret. God sees, and after time, it will be revealed to man. You think about different times in the Bible. Cain thought he had gotten away with murder, which, I don't know, you know, they were going to miss Abel sooner or later. I mean, how many people were in the world at that time? I mean, not very many. Of course, Abel was going to be missed, but Cain thought he got away with it. Joseph's brother thought they got away with the betrayal of their own brother into slavery, but after 15 years, it was exposed. It's amazing sometimes how God brings things to light. Reminds me of a little humorous story. A woman was preparing to entertain guests. She went to a small grocery store to buy food. She stopped at the meat counter and asked the attendant for a large chicken. He reached down to the cold storage compartment, grabbed the last chicken he had, and he placed it on the scale. He said, this one weighs 4 pounds, ma'am. He said, she said, I'm not sure if that will be enough. The woman replied, don't you have a bigger one? Well, the attendant put the chicken back in the compartment, and then he pretended to search through the whole melting ice for another one. And then he brought out the exact same bird, but discreetly put his finger on the scale. And he said, "Ma'am, this one weighs 6 pounds. And the lady says, "I'm not sure that's enough. I'll just go ahead and take both of them." So your sins many times, and I've seen this happen in a very sometimes humorous way, but you know, your sins will find you out. And second thing I want you to see is, and like I mentioned earlier, this is one that spoke to my heart to Moses, God will not bless those living in sin. As we saw in verse number 12, "Neither will I be with you anymore." Can you imagine what that meant? They had taken them out of the Egypt through the 10 plagues, the Red Sea. They took them to Mount Sinai. We saw them hitting the water with the rock for water. We saw the manna, and we saw them come to this land one time. They lost a lot of their family. Then they had to go wander for 40 years because unbelief brings them back to this land. They go through the Jordan River. They just won this great battle of Jericho. They just lost this battle to Ai. They're discouraged. They're despaired. And God says, "Forget it. I'm not going with you until you get this right." And like, as I mentioned to you, this is a promise that God has given them that they could possess the land, but they had to be obedient. If you like to, I encourage you to take your Bibles to Deuteronomy chapter number 11. In Deuteronomy chapter number 11, there's a passage of scripture that Moses is giving to the nation of Israel about their success. In Deuteronomy chapter 11, and I like the plainness of the Bible here. You're not going to get confused what this is saying in Deuteronomy chapter number 11. Deuteronomy chapter number 11, verse 25, the Bible says, "There shall no man be able to stand before you." Now, that's not the case right now. Remember, they couldn't stand before Ai. They had to run. "For the Lord your God shall lay the fear of you and the dread of you upon all the land that you shall tread upon." And we saw that with Jericho happen, "as he hath said unto you." But verse 26 begins to give the reason why God can bless. "Behold, I set before you this day a blessing and a curse. A blessing if you obey the commandments of the Lord your God, which I command you this day. And a curse if you will not obey the commandments of the Lord your God, but turn aside out of the way which I command you this day, to go after other gods which you have not known." So here, with that chapter, those verses are saying, Moses had already told him, look, if you want to get a blessing, be obedient. If you want to get a curse, then disobey. And God is just doing what he has already promised. And I tell you, in my life, I want God's blessings. I want God's power. I want God to do something in my life, and I want God to bless my life. And I need to make sure that I'm dealing with the sin that's in my heart or my mind or in my flesh. Matthew chapter 13, verse 58 says, "And he did not many mighty works because of their unbelief." I remember that amazing story how Jesus was limited on how much he was able to heal and help that city because of their unbelief. Think about what it says in Psalm 66:18. "If I regard iniquity in my heart, the Lord will not hear me." I need God to hear my prayers. I know I need him in my life. And like I said, God will not bless those in living in sin. God did not bless the nation of Israel because they were cursed. The third thing, and I think it's probably one of the obvious things in this message, is sin will affect others around you. Sin will affect others around you. Perhaps Achan thought no one will get hurt by this. Perhaps Achan thought this is between me and God. I'm willing to take my chances. You know what? I've had people hear me here. Just leave me alone. I've had people say, "Just leave me alone. I'm not hurting anybody." And the reality is that sin affects others. It hurts others. The ramifications of a sin had a far-reaching effect. It affected Israel. They could not stand before their enemies in chapter 13. It said, "Thou canst not stand before thine enemies until you take away the accursed thing from among you." You think about it. David, when he disobeyed God by numbering the people, he lost 70,000 people. And the nation of Israel lost 70,000 people because of David's sin. It affected a nation. Verse 25 talks about Joshua saying to Achan, "Why hast thou troubled us? The army suffered defeat. It brought discouragement." We saw the discouragement and despair from Joshua and from his people. Achan's name meant trouble, and this sin troubled the whole nation. And sin is like cancer. It spreads and it affects others. One bitter person can result in many bitter people. One person's sin can hold back the blessing of God on the whole group. This is something we really need to take to heart. This is something we should be checking ourselves and making sure that we're clean, because we don't want our sin to be able to stop God's blessing on our church or God's blessing on our family. And I'm not making accusations, and I'm not saying you need to go be a detective and try to figure out whose sin is causing God's blessing. I'm not saying that. I'm saying that we need to look at ourselves and search ourselves and say, is there some type of sin in my life that where God cannot bless me or my family or bless my church? Little sin that is undealt with in a heart or in a church or in a family, it can go a long way. His family was affected. Sin not only ruins us, but it burns others. They feel the heat all the way through, and especially in a family's life. It breaks their heart. We bring sin in our home, it's going to affect our family. No one lives in a vacuum. Your sin and my sin directly lowers the spiritual temperature of a family or a church. Ecclesiastes 9:18 says, one sin destroyeth much good. And you can look at many characters in the Bible. Think about David. His sin affected his family. He had some messed up kids because of his family. You go back and look at David, some of his children, and the effects because of David's sin. Think about Abraham. He almost lost his wife in Egypt, you know, because he went down where he wasn't supposed to go and he lied. Sarah almost became a mistress for the Pharaoh. He can, you know, there's a spot in the Bible that says, remember Lot's wife. You know, there was an effect of the sin that happened on those lives, and it affected their group or their unit as a nation. And I tell you, sin affects our country, that's for sure. And it also affects churches, and it also affects families too. Sin is something that will affect others around you. The fourth thing is sin must be dealt with. Sin must be dealt with. Look what it says in verse 15. And it shall be that he that is taken with the accursed thing shall be burnt with fire. And you know what? There is a price to pay for rebellion and disobedience. There is a price. It cannot be hidden. God will bring it to light one way or another, either here in this world or up in heaven someday in front of the judgment seat. Galatians 6:7 says, be not deceived. God is not mocked. For whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. For he that soweth to his flesh of the flesh shall reap corruption. But he that soweth to the Spirit shall the Spirit reap life everlasting. Either you and I will deal with our sins, or God will deal with them. I think it's important to know that they will be handled. It's important to know that we're not going to get away with our sins. It's important to know, even though we think that we've done nothing that's going to harm anybody else, and even though we think that we're getting by with our sins, God says your sin will be dealt with. Your sin must be dealt with. Stop. It says, be not deceived. God is not mocked. Stop fooling yourself. Stop mocking God and thinking that I can do this sin and God's never going to bring anything to light about it. Next one I think is kind of interesting. I think it's so true. Sin will end up not being worth it. Sin will end up not being worth it. And I alluded to this earlier, but what good was that stuff doing underneath his tent? I mean, the silver was in the ground. I mean, where was he going to wear that Babylonian garment to anyway? I mean, the people were not going to see. Hey, where'd you get that, Achan? We've been out in the desert for 40 years, and somehow you end up dressed up really fancy for something? I don't know. I mean, he did not get to use it. And all those things, you'll see that in verse number 24, they end up burned in a fire, and they are just worthless and useless. And I think it's so often that men often sell their soul to get the goods of this world, but in the end, they lose both their souls and their earthly goods. The Bible even says, what shall it profit a man if he shall gain the whole world and lose his own soul? And Christian, especially when it comes to us in our lives, when we mess around with sin, we think that there's pleasure in sin for a season. It may feel good. It may be something that brings good things that you think to you. But in the end, the guilt that comes along with it, the curse that comes along with it, the hardship that comes along with it, the effects of other people, sin will never, ever end up being worth it. So if you think you're playing with a sin, you think you're playing with God, you're never going to get what you really think out of it. As we see in the story of Achan, it's a perfect example. He never enjoyed the things that meant so much to him, but it cost him his life and his family's life too. Number 6, and this is it. How a Christian can deal with sin. Now, I think this is great. We heard all these bad things. You know, God knows about it. God, it must be dealt with. It hurts other people. God's not going to be able to bless you. It's not going to be worth it. But the great thing is a Christian can deal with your sins. The Bible says in 1 John 1:9, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. We have a way. We have an advocate. Isn't it wonderful that we, if we have sin in our heart and sin in our life, and maybe something that we struggle with and dealt with for years and years and years, we can come to an altar. You don't even have to come to an altar. You can stand in your stand at your seat. You can sit in your seat. You can lay on the floor. You can do whatever you need to do. You can bring it to the Lord and you can agree with God and be repentant of that sin. And God says he'll cleanse you from that unrighteousness. You don't have to live under the guilt of that sin. Now, sometimes you might have to live under the results of that sin. Someone who smokes for 50 years and maybe gets it right with God doesn't mean that his lungs are going to become perfectly clean anymore. No, there's sometimes consequences for our sin, but we can, the Bible says he can cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Well, then you ask the question, didn't Achan confess? Well, see, when confession here that it talks about in 1 John 1:9, I believe means that we agree with God. I think Achan here, in his story, he was saying, yes, I got caught. That's the only reason why he asked that he confessed it. He waited until there's millions of people and they had to go through this big show. He could have came to Joshua that night before and he could have came to Joshua and said, Joshua, I've done this. I've stolen this. I'm sorry, I've done wrong, but he doesn't. His heart is hardened. He probably doesn't even feel like he's done anything wrong. He's just saying that he got caught. And there's a difference between feeling guilty and about getting caught and truly being sorry for offending God, sorry for hurting God, sorry for breaking God's commandments. Achan was forced to confess. What God wants us to do is to agree with him according to our sins. What God wants us to do is to come to a spot and realize, hey, what I'm doing is wrong. It's wrong in the sight of God. It's hurting my relationship with God. I am sorry for the sin I've done, and I want to never, ever do that again. Does that mean you're never going to do it? No. We're weak in our flesh. The spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak. But that's our desire when we confess it. We're not confessing and saying, okay, I lied here, and I'm sorry I lied here, but we plan on doing it next week. That's not true confession. The Bible says in Proverbs 28:13, it says, he that covereth his sin shall not prosper, but whoso confesseth and forsaketh them shall have mercy. Now listen to that. He that covereth his sin shall not prosper. Achan did not prosper. But who's going to find the mercy? But whoso confesseth and forsaketh them shall have mercy. If you truly want to have mercy in your life, confess your sin, agree with God, and then forsake it. Then, you know, never ever plan on doing it again. Even getting away from it in the areas that have caused you to trip, the areas that have caused you to fail, you shut those doors so that way, hopefully, you'll never do it again. You know, this valley at Achor, like I said before, it means trouble. And Achan means trouble. And this valley at Achor is mentioned a couple different times in the Bible. It sounds like a place of gloom and doom. You know, a pile of rocks is sitting there, and you can think, well, they remind me of Achan. And that was a sad day, because that's also going to be a memory of the 36 people, too. That's going to be a memory of a lot of different things. But there's a spot in the Bible where it says that Achor is a door of hope. It says in Hosea 2:15, and I will give her vineyards from thence and the valley of Achor for a door of hope. And it's kind of an interesting thought there, and I'm going to close with that thought. You know, it's saying that, you know, the Valley of Achor, the place that represented the sin of Achan, the place that represented the 36 that died, the place that represented the sin and how God had deal and judge with that. And he says that, and Hosea says, the Valley of Achor for a door of hope. That kind of reminds me of the fact that, you know what, when God deals with the sin and we deal with the sin with God, we have hope. We have hope that we don't have to live like that anymore. We have hope in God. We have hope in what he can do, that when we confess our sins, he's faithful and he's just and forgiving us and cleansing us from all unrighteousness. And I'm telling you that even if you've been involved in sin, even if you've had some type of hidden sin, there is still hope for you as a believer. As a believer, you can come to God and you can confess it. It's a door of hope. It's a reminder that if I deal with my sin, God's not going to bring it up anymore. And if you're an unsaved person here tonight, it's even better for you, because not only is your sins, they've already been paid for. And if you ask Christ to save you from your sins, guess what? You have the greatest door of hope, the hope of eternal life, salvation. Tonight, I know sin is sometimes things that are hard to be preached on. We should preach hard on sin. And you know what? It does affect others, and we shouldn't be so selfish in thinking that, hey, my sin isn't going to hurt my family when it really does. We shouldn't be so naive to think that sin is never going to be dealt with. We shouldn't be so naive that we think God's going to turn a blind eye to my sin and not take his blessing off my life. You think about it, Achan was the only person out of this huge army that stole. Don't you think God could have just looked over that one guy and blessed the rest? That's not how he deals with sin. Sin is serious. Sin will never end up being worth it. But as a Christian, we can deal with that sin. We have a door of hope. We have a way of hope. We have an opportunity to confess and to forsake. We have an opportunity to find mercy when we don't deserve it. It's in our selfishness of our heart that we go against God's ways and we see and we covet and then we take. That's the selfishness of me worrying about me and caring only about me and not worrying about God, not worrying how it's going to affect anybody else. I want to encourage you tonight for your relationship with the Lord and also for your relationship inside our congregation and inside our church. Seek God's heart. Ask God to try you. Ask God to see if there's any wicked way in you. And sometimes we've grown so cold and so hard and so bitter that we don't even realize we're sinning. They're called strongholds in the Bible, that we've believed something for 10 or 15 or 20 years. It's not biblical. We believed it for so long. It's got to be right. I know some people I hear say, well, it's on the internet. It's got to be right. There's only one place it's got to be right if it's somewhere, and that's in the Bible. It's in the Bible. It's got to be right. Everything else is something that we compare with Scripture and seek God's heart on. Tonight, I want God's blessing on my life, and I want God's blessing on our church. I think we've got a wonderful church. I love our church. I think our church could be more. I think church could do more. We're going to leave that up to God to take care of that. But let's make sure that we're not holding our church back. Let's make sure that we're not holding our families back. Let's make sure we're in the place where God can actually bless. That sin you're messing with is not worth it. He that is greedy of gain, trouble of his whole house. You don't want that. Let me encourage you tonight. There are some things that you just can't hide. Sin is one of those things. God will always know. Let's go ahead and stand to our feet. Heads bowed.